This episode of the ICAN podcast is brought to you by our favorite natural supplement brand, Feel Supreme, winners of Best Supplement, Best Healthcare Product, and Best Alternative Product for their Lion's Mane Liquid. They also manufacture some customer favorites, including an extensive mushroom tincture range, Shilajit, Tongat Ali, and NAD Plus products. Head over to feelsupreme.co.uk and use the code POD20 for 20% off the entire natural collection.
Chick, nutritional therapist and author, and I'd like to welcome you to series one of the ICAN magazine podcast. On today's episode, I'm talking with Dr. Tom O'Brien, who has been educating us about the potential dangers of wheat and gluten for many years and how it could potentially develop into autoimmune conditions. So today we're going to be specifically focusing on brain health, but we'll be touching on some autoimmune conditions as well. But first of all, hello, Dr. Tom. Thank you for joining me on the ICAN magazine podcast.
Hello, Kirsten. Thank you. It's a real pleasure. I love ICAN and all of the attendees at the conferences. It's always an event that we look forward to. So to have this opportunity on the podcast is wonderful. Thank you for that.
Fantastic. And you're going to be speaking at the 2023 conference again this year. So wonderful. What initially led you to be interested in this whole area of wheat and gluten originally?
Yes. Well, we have to go back 44 years. I was an intern, and my ex and I could not get pregnant. We were trying and nothing was happening. So I called the seven most famous holistic doctors of the day. And I was lucky enough to be able to talk to all of them. And I asked, what do you do for infertility? And they said, well, do you know what a category one is? I said, no, learn. Okay, category one. And they all told me what they do. And I put a program together. We were pregnant in 6 weeks. And my neighbors in married housing, we lived on campus, they had been through artificial insemination and nothing had worked. And they asked if I'd work with them. And I said, well, I don't know. I don't think it's going to hurt you. Okay. They were pregnant in 3 months.
Wow.
So now we're 4 months pregnant and our neighbors are pregnant. And we're just telling all of our friends, you know, we were in Chicago. I was in school in Chicago. We're just very happy and grateful and looking forward to this. And tell our friends, and our friend's sister in Wisconsin, who had had 3 miscarriages, called and said, please, can I come talk to you, please? I said, well, okay. And I worked with them. They got pregnant and they had a healthy pregnancy and delivery. So even before I got out into practice, I was already hot to trot to help couples who were having problems with pregnancy or fertility. You know, and there's not much in medicine that's all or every, but this was every couple that was having problems with hormone-related issues, whether it was recurrent miscarriages or premature ejaculation. It didn't matter what it was. One of the components contributing to the problem that they didn't know about, you know, you back out of the driveway and you say, what's wrong with this car? It's going backwards, but it's the emergency brake. And you let go of the emergency brake, and then you back up, right? One of the contributing factors for every single couple that we've worked with, and this has been true for 40 years, that they didn't know that an emergency brake that was inhibiting their progress, their health, was that they were eating foods that didn't make them sick when they ate them, so they thought they were fine. And we know, of course, in celiac disease, the ratio is 8 to 1. For every one patient that has gut symptoms, there are 8 that don't. They feel fine when they eat wheat, but they get migraines, or they have increased liver enzymes, or their children have a failure failure to thrive. They're the shortest kids in the class. But they don't get sick when they eat wheat, so they think there's no problem there. So that misconception that you have to have gut symptoms if what you're eating is a problem for you, that misconception still goes on today. You know, and there's all this science that says, no, that's not true. But we forget. And it's critically important that our healthcare practitioners understand that basic concept that, you know, the Center for Disease Control in the U.S. tells us that 14 of the 15 top causes of death in the world today are chronic inflammatory diseases, which means there's ongoing chronic inflammation that the person doesn't know is going on. They don't know because they feel fine. And of course, I've said this so many times, the most common environmental trigger that's activating a inflammatory response is what's on the end of your fork. But if it doesn't make you sick when you eat it, you think there's no problem, or I can have a little of this. I mean, those practitioners out there that are talking about a low gluten diet or a cheat day, shame on you. There is no evidence that you can do that. And when you go gluten-free and your autoimmune antibodies come down, and we'll talk about that, and you now put that disease into remission, you have a cheat day and you feel fine because it's not affecting your gut, it's affecting your thyroid or the myelin on your brain, you know, wherever it's affecting. And you have a cheat day, just one day, just one exposure. The risk is that the increased immune response from that cheat day, you're now producing antibodies to your thyroid for 4 to 8 weeks. Elevated antibodies from one cheat day. So I need to nail that one right now. I should get a hammer so I can just go boom. Right?
So with that, are you talking about celiac disease or are you talking about anyone with a gluten sensitivity?
Anyone with a wheat-related disorder. Mm-hmm. There is no such thing because wheat is, as far as I know, the only food. It's not a food. That's the problem. Wheat is the only thing we eat that when you cross the line of tolerance, whenever that is, at 2 years old, 22 years old, 92 years old, whenever you cross that line of tolerance and you start producing elevated antibodies to the peptides of poorly digested wheat, whenever that happens, you also produce memory B cells. Memory B cells don't go away. You know, you get a vaccination for measles, and they give you a shot of the bug, right? And your brain says, whoa, what's that? And in your brain says to your immune system, yo, general, because you've got Army, Air Force, Marine Corps generals sitting around with nothing to do. General, you now are General Measles. Take care of this. General Measles builds an assembly line. The assembly line is specifically built to train soldiers, special forces, to go after measles. Nothing else. They just go after measles. They're special forces with high-powered rifles. And it takes a number of weeks to build this assembly line and to produce the antibodies, the response to a normal vaccination, not the garbage that we're exposed to right now with the last couple of years, but I'm talking about the childhood vaccinations. Takes a number of weeks to build that assembly line. And General Measles is watching all of this. So when the measles bug from the injection has been destroyed, there's no more of that around, General Measles says, all right, turn off the assembly line. We don't need any measles antibodies right now. You shouldn't have measles antibodies in your bloodstream right now, unless you've been exposed. But you shouldn't have them normally. So now, but General Measles is vigilant the rest of his life. That you're sitting on an airplane and some guy behind you from Mozambique coughs into the air and measles bugs are in the air now and you breathe in measles bugs. General Measles, that's always monitoring the bloodstream. Oh, look, measles, turn on the assembly line, boom. And in one day, maybe 2 days, the antibodies are right there, not 4 to 8 weeks because you already built the assembly line. That's the purpose of a memory B cell. Wheat is the only food that I've ever found the evidence. You produce memory B cells. When you cross that line of tolerance and now you have elevated antibodies to any of the peptides of wheat, you produce memory B cells. So tell me, how in the hell do you get away with thinking it's okay to have a cheat day?
So do you think everybody's got memory B cells?
No. Everybody has not crossed the line of tolerance. Mm-hmm. That's why you have to test. The rule is test, don't guess. Mm-hmm. But once you have the elevated antibodies, you're done. That's it for wheat from a physiological point of view. Now, there's lots of research going on to find a drug that calms down toll-like receptor 4 in your gut so it doesn't activate this. And, you know, within 5 minutes of wheat coming out of the stomach into the proximal part of the small intestine, which is where toll-like receptor 4, the sentry standing guard, I refer to them as the soldiers at Buckingham Palace with those big hats. You know, they're as stiff as can be. Mm-hmm. They don't move. They look harmless. They look dormant. But don't mess with those guys, right? That's toll-like receptor 4 in your gut. And toll-like receptor 4 is watching everything that comes out of the stomach. Everything. That's its job. It's genetically how our ancestors survived. Those that could respond on to a toxin in the food that they were eating, because the number one survival factor was, do you get enough food? And this is before agriculture. So, you know, your ancestor would find something. The first thing they do is sniff it. Then they nibble at it. Then they eat it. And if it had pathogens in it that they couldn't identify, it's toll-like receptor 4 in the proximal part of the small intestine that's there to scan everything that's coming out of the stomach. And when it sees a bug, two things happen. It activates the production of zonulin, which is the mechanism causing leaky gut. And I've shown the videos before at ICON conferences. Within 5 minutes of that food coming into the proximal part of the small intestine, in humans, within 5 minutes, here comes leaky gut. Now, why would that happen? Well, it's because it's a life-saving mechanism. That leaky gut opening up the tight junctions between the cells is designed to let water come into the lumen of the intestines. Why? To wash out the bug with the poop. Just wash it out. You know, but sometimes, you know, it's like if you have mud stuck on the driveway and you turn on a garden hose to try and wash the mud off, but it's caked on to the driveway, you have to put your thumb over the opening of the hose to get a spray. And then you can spray it. That's zonulin. It's a life-saving mechanism. Leaky gut's not bad for you. Excessive leaky gut is bad for you, right? So toll-like receptor 4, when it identifies a threat, two things. First, it increases zonulin production. And second, it increases NF-kappa-B, the major amplifier of inflammation inside the gut. So every time, and Maureen Leonard, a very famous gastroenterologist at Harvard, did a literature review on this topic in 2017, 6 years ago. I mean, every healthcare practitioner should know this by now. But she did a literature review of over 60 studies on this topic. And she published in the Journal of the American Medical Association and confirmed that this happens in all humans who consume gluten. So unless someone that's watching this interview is not human, it means that every time you eat wheat, you get transient leaky gut and increased inflammation in your gut every time, without exception.
So is this why your vocabulary has shifted from talking about gluten to talking about wheat?
Really good question. We now know that there are many components in wheat that activate toll-like receptor 4, not just the gluten proteins. There's the glutenin proteins, the opiate receptor-stimulating gluteomorphins. The amylase trypsin inhibitors are likely the most powerful activator of toll-like receptor 4. And the amylase trypsin inhibitors, the ATIs, activate toll-like receptor 4 at nanomolar concentrations. That's 1/1,000,000,000 of a gram. And it activates toll-like receptor 4. So you get something gluten-free. It's not amylase trypsin inhibitor-free. It's not wheat germ agglutinin-free, the lectins in wheat. Maybe it's gluten-free. That doesn't mean it's safe. So there's a whole world that we've been misled, and that's what I'm going to talk about this year, about the diets between gluten-free, ketogenic, paleo, vegetarian, Mediterranean. I'm going to go boom, 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 and just show that these diets that seem to be beneficial also have a potential downside. So we need to be much more selective about our recommendations to patients and how long should they be doing a particular diet and how do you monitor if you're being successful with that recommendation to them. So that's what we're going into later this year in June.
That's a fantastic little teaser, but we're not going to go into that now. I want to talk about the brain. And you've talked about leaky gut. Obviously, there's similar issues going on with the blood-brain barrier as well. You spoke about this at last year's conference. You spoke all about the brain then. And you were talking about the canary. Why were you referencing the canary?
Yes. The brain is the canary in the coal mine, which means coal miners in the 1800s would take a canary in a cage down into the coal mine with them, and they would light a candle and leave the canary over in the side there singing its little thing all day. And if the canary stopped singing, someone walked over to check it. And if the canary had fallen over dead, they blew a whistle and everyone immediately got out of there. Because a canary is much more sensitive to methane gas and carbon monoxide, and it'll fall over dead before humans fall over dead. So a canary in the coal mine is a term that means an early warning system of problems that are going on right now. And, you know, unfortunately, your generation doesn't know this, and that's what our presentation was about last year. There has been between 2013 and 2017, in a four-year period, and these are the most recent statistics that I can find, there was a 407% increase in the diagnosis of Alzheimer's in 30 to 44-year-olds.
Wow.
In 4 years, 407% increase in 30 to 44-year-olds. This is like, what? What? And you let that sink in for a minute. What do you think has happened in the last 6 years now since that statistic came out? Anything changed for the better in terms of air pollution? In one study I'll show this year, 207 healthy adults in Mexico City, healthy, no complaints. 202 have evidence of early Alzheimer's.
Wow.
It's like, what? What? That the pandemic that's going on right now is something we're all not aware of. And it's what's going on in our brains.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to talk about that this year and about diets and how diets, especially in women of childbearing age, and what happens to your future baby's brain, depending on what you're eating.
So back to the current brain, that a really hot topic has been recently, has been brain fog. Partly because, I mean, people talk about brain fog a lot with things like chronic fatigue and various post-viral syndromes, but also menopause is a major hot topic at the moment. And that's one of the key wonderful features of menopause that so many experience is brain fog as well. So what are the links that you've been seeing there between wheat?
As an integrative health professional, choosing the right CPD can be difficult, but we've made it easy for you. ICANN magazine's events bring world-class industry leaders almost to your doorstep. We've done the hard work choosing the best. All you have to do is turn up and soak up the learning. Our speakers are briefed to give you the absolute latest evidence-based downloads and clear takeaways that you can immediately use in your practice. You'll leave informed, inspired, and ready to rumble. Headline speakers for the 2023 series include naturopathic physician Dr. Cheryl Burdett, Professor Sarpa Dila from the Nicholas Gonzalez Foundation, Dr. Tom O'Brien, Dr. Leo Prunboon, and many, many more. And our events aren't just about the speakers. Tickets for our in-person events include access to a large expo, a three-course gluten-free lunch, a printed delegate pack with all the slides and all the post-event video recordings, so you never miss a thing. There's CPD and there's ICANN CPD. Feel the difference. Book your ticket online at icannconferences.co.uk.
Yeah. That's a really good one. Could everyone, as long as you're not driving, would everyone please just cross your legs for a minute? Thank you, Kristen. Okay. Leave them like that for 3 hours. Stand up and run. You can't. Okay, uncross your legs. But you can't. There's not enough blood. When you don't have enough blood, you get brain fog. I mean, that's what brain fog is. It's called hypoperfusion. That's the primary contributor, because when you fix the hypoperfusion, the brain fog is gone in a couple of minutes. It's just gone. 73% of people with wheat-related disorders have hypoperfusion in the brain. And the area of the brain depends upon your genetics and antecedents, how you live your life. You know, you play soccer, you do headbutt. You have that minor trauma, accumulative minor trauma. In a practice, you might be practicing your headbutt into the goal, so you do it 20 times. You know, that's trauma. And you breach the blood-brain barrier. You cause a breach of the blood-brain barrier. So just depending on what area of the brain is more vulnerable is where the hypoperfusion manifests. If it's in the back of the brain, you get seizures. But it all, for everyone, the 73%, it always included the frontal lobes. And that's where depression and anxiety come from. Mm-hmm. That's why Michael Mays, M-A-E-S, if you Google Professor Michael Mays, he's in Thailand and I think it's London. He married a Thai woman, so he has an office there, and I think his other office is in London. But you read his science, and he's the first guy that ever referred to the leaky gut diet in the early 90s. To deal with depression and anxiety. And because wheat was, and his leaky gut diet is gluten-free, dairy-free, added sugar-free. And the result is these people with major depressive disorder, which by definition means you're on two medications, but you can't function, you can't go to work, you're really in a bad way. That's major depressive disorder. They get better on a leaky gut diet because it's the gut and the inflammation from the gut. I think everybody knows this now, but it was Michael Gershon from, I believe he's at Princeton, in 1999, wrote the book, The Second Brain. And he told us back then, for every one message from the brain going down, giving instruction to the gut, there's 9 messages from the gut going up, giving instruction to the brain. The ratio is 9 to 1, right? And so that's why you always have to deal with the gut when you've got brain dysfunction of any type.
I've heard you say as well that we talk about the gut as the secondary brain, but actually we should be calling it the primary brain.
Exactly. Well, just look at the numbers. Mm-hmm. You know, and people say, oh, that's nonsense. Really? Really? Just read the science. Who's in control here? Mm-hmm. The ratio is 9 to 1. So, and so we'll use the scientific term modulates brain function, right?
Yeah. And then so is that, obviously there's going to be lots of different mechanisms involved here, but we've already talked about the, we're talking about leaky gut, briefly mentioned the blood-brain barrier. Can you explain a little bit more about how wheat, gluten, and so on then affects the blood-brain barrier as well?
You bet, you bet. There's six different ways that I'm aware of that have been identified. The most common one is hypoperfusion, a lack of brain blood flow into the brain for symptomatology. But for pathology, molecular mimicry is very common, which means that when you have elevated antibodies, the most common test, and the one that unfortunately some labs still only offer, and they say is for wheat and is for gluten, is anti-gliadin antibodies. And it's a good test, but 50% of celiacs don't have elevated anti-gliadin antibodies. Well, what does that mean? It means there must be other triggers besides gliadin, right? That's why, you know, I talked about it last year, about the wheat zoomer test. It's called the wheat because you zoom in on the problem. And it's available now in England, Great Britain. And it looks at 26 different markers of poorly digested wheat. So you don't miss them anymore. But when you have elevated antibodies to gliadin, which many people do, you can't count on that test to be comprehensive in determining if there's a wheat-related disorder, but it's still a good test. If you have elevated gliadin antibodies, those antibodies will attack the blood vessels of the brain. It's called molecular mimicry. And those antibodies looking for gluten, looking for gliadin, the amino acid structure of gliadin is very similar to the inside lining of the capillaries in the brain. It includes that protein, not protein, that amino acid signature. And so the antibodies, the special forces that are looking for gliadin in the bloodstream, because, you know, your bloodstream is just a highway. I mean, you know, it's just a highway with no lanes of traffic. You know, it's like driving in India. If you've ever been to India, don't drive in India.
Yeah.
Do not drive there. Those guys take their lives in their hands. But everything's bouncing into each other. But molecular mimicry means special forces see something over there on the wall. It says, look, over there, gliadin's hiding. And it fires its chemical bullets at the blood vessel wall. Mm-hmm. And it creates a breach in the blood-brain barrier, leaky brain. So then molecules that may be normal in the bloodstream but are too large to get into the brain, because the blood-brain barrier is the tightest of our barriers in all mucosal immunology. But now you got a leaky brain. So molecules that are in the bloodstream, normal in the bloodstream, they get through the leaky brain. And then your immune system in the brain, the glial cells that are just dormant, just like toll-like receptors are, they're just dormant. But this, all of a sudden, this larger molecule, this macromolecule gets inside the blood vessel wall, and glial cells do not mess around. They don't have high-powered rifles like special forces. They have bazookas, and they just destroy whatever is trying to get into the brain. Well, that's a really good thing. But if you're eating wheat every day because you haven't identified it and you've got molecular mimicry, if that's your genetic vulnerability, attacking the capillaries in the brain, allowing macromolecules that are normal in the bloodstream but get through into the brain, activating the glial cells trying to protect you, you've got, like, well, in the U.S., the 4th of July fireworks. Boom, 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 boom. And that's inflammation in the brain. And then when you do the NeuroZoomer Plus test, which I talked about last year, that looks at 53 markers of inflammation in the brain, your blood test just lights up. You've got so much inflammation in the brain, here, 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 it just lights up. And you go, oh my God. That is why there's a 407% increase in 4 years in Alzheimer's in 30 to 44-year-olds, is because their parents grew up in the generation of way too many chemicals, mm-hmm, causing problems in the body. So mom had too much of that stuff in her. And then baby was born and grew up with more of these chemicals. And so these young people, these people of your age bracket, they've been exposed
to... You're being very kind to me. I'm a little bit older than that.
Oh, that's well, that's okay. But, you know, but they've been exposed to so much more of this stuff than ever before in history. That is why every autoimmune disease that's been checked is going up 4 to 9% every year. And the worst of them all is celiac. Celiac is climbing faster than anything else. But every Hashimoto's, psoriasis, rheumatoid, MS, it doesn't matter. They're all going up 4 to 9% a year. But this is why. It's the level of toxins that we're all being exposed to now, and your immune system is just overwhelmed. Right. And you get leaky gut, and then you get leaky brain.
And wheat is going in there and just opening the doors to all of this.
Wheat is, you know, the most common source of triggers of inflammation, what I call gasoline on the fire, is what's on the end of your fork. That's the most common source, except in Mexico City. It's the air in the study that I referenced earlier. But it's what's on the end of your fork. And wheat is the most common food that people eat multiple times a day, every day. Our society is completely dependent on it. 20 to 48% of the protein in somebody's diet comes from wheat. Very, very common to see that. And the B vitamins, because the flours are enriched, and the minerals that the flours are enriched with. Some people, they don't take any vitamins, and so they're dependent on much of their nutrients from the wheat products they're eating.
So just to get practical for a second, so we've got all of these kind of the gluten-free industry out there that have produced all of these foods that have got like 15, 20, 30 ingredients in there, trying to simulate that kind of chewy fluffiness that gluten provides, and failing miserably, but still trying. Obviously, we're not going to recommend that people start eating loads of these foods. What's your best tip for somebody that just says, I just miss bread?
Me too. I'm half Italian. My grandparents came from Italy in 1922. We made our own pasta. I grew up with homemade pasta a couple times a week, every week. Homemade ravioli, mostaciale, cannelli. You know, I grew up on all that. I just miss wheat. Well, okay. Okay. You know, well, you know, it doesn't matter. I mean, live with it. Live with it. Right.
Find other pleasures. Yeah.
And of course, I don't mean to negate that. But as healthcare practitioners, we have to dial it in for ourselves. Once you dial in the lifestyle that works, and you just keep doing the wheat zoomer every 6 months until you've nailed this, until the test is negative, you know, and it should be coming down every time. But some people, they still have things that they cheat with, or they still have a cross reactivity with another food, and so they have to learn a little more about how to take care of it.
Yeah, we haven't even mentioned cross reactivities, have we? Yeah. That's a whole other kettle of fish.
But you know, in my view, healthcare practitioners need to get off their duff and become the very best in the world, trained on guiding people living a wheat-free lifestyle, not just gluten-free, wheat-free lifestyle. There is a paper that's, oh, it's just over there on my desk, I can't quite get to it, that unfortunately talks about the amount of amylase, trypsin inhibitors, and other wheat components in gluten-free beer. Which means you're still activating the immune system. You're still getting all those problems, and you're still going to fuel your MS or your rheumatoid or your psoriasis or your Hashimoto, but it's gluten-free. It's gluten-free.
I have people coming to see me who have reported that they've tried certain gluten-free products and they can't tolerate them at all.
Yeah, exactly. And it's that's probably the reason why. You know, people in the U.S. say, well, I can go to Europe and I can eat the wheat and I'm fine. I said, no, you're not. No, doc, I'm fine. I can eat the pasta and I feel great. And then I have to, you know, you explain to them that, well, there's a component in wheat called fermentable carbohydrates, FODMAPs. And the FODMAPs, when you have a sensitivity to the FODMAPs in wheat, you get bloating, you get gas, you get cramps. But gluten doesn't so much cause bloating and gas and cramps. Gluten activates the immune system. So here come the systemic problems, depending on your genetics and your antecedents. Gluten triggers the systemic problems, gluten and wheat. FODMAPs trigger the gut problems for the most part. You know, there's some crossover, but the majority. And the wheat in Europe is lower in FODMAPs.
Mm-hmm.
That's why the Americans can go to Italy and eat the pasta and they feel fine. But they come back and all of a sudden their headaches are back again, or their MS symptoms are starting to creep in a little bit. So I always tell patients, I always tell them, I say, look, let's just do the wheat zoomer. Let's just confirm everything's normal. You've worked really hard for the last 2.5 years. Way to go. Let's just make sure everything's normal. And then go to Europe and eat whatever you want. And you'll feel fine when you eat the pizza in Italy. And you'll be so happy and you'll just enjoy it because I really miss my pizza. You know, and you'll enjoy it. And then you come back and we'll do the test and you'll see your myelin antibodies are back.
Mm-hmm.
Because gluten activates the immune response.
Mm-hmm.
Amylase trypsin inhibitors activate the immune response. Mm-hmm. Wheat germ agglutinins activate the immune response.
Brilliant. It's so good to make that real clear distinction as well. There's one question that I ask everybody. Well, there are two, actually. The first one is there anyone or anything in the nutrition world right now that's really grabbing your attention?
Oh, my goodness, yes. There's a wonderful clinician in Canada named Stephen Genius. And he really is a genius. He's been writing articles now for many years about environmental exposure to toxins and how it affects us. And you take Dr. Genius's observations and what he writes about. And when you understand, I mean, everyone should be intimately familiar, and it's been in many of my presentations over the years since I first came to London in 2011 at the Royal Academy of Science. And I've been talking about Dr. Arbuckle's article in the New England Journal of Medicine in 2003. She went to the Veterans Administration Hospital and looked for people with lupus. She found 132 people, I think it was, with lupus. And they're veterans. They were in the armed forces. And they had their blood drawn many, many times when they were in the Navy, in the Army, in the Air Force, the Marines, when they were healthy. And what most people don't know is that U.S. government's been saving almost all of that blood since 1978. They've got tens of millions of samples of our service people's blood. Well, Dr. Arbuckle knew this. So she asked for permission to go back and look at the blood of the currently diagnosed lupus patients when they were healthy. And she got permission. And what did she found? Every single one of them had all seven antibodies to lupus, there are seven, all seven of them elevated years before they ever had a symptom. Years. And the average was 7 years for the seven antibodies, some of them 13 years beforehand, the antibodies were elevated. And they felt fine. Well, you know, by definition, elevated antibodies are killing off more tissue than you're making, by definition. And so what she showed, and it was a brilliant article, and her drawings in there are great. Everyone should just intimately be familiar with this article, Maureen Arbuckle, New England Journal of Medicine, 2003. And she showed that every year, all of the antibodies went up incrementally, killing off tissue, killing off tissue, killing off tissue. until they hit this plateau and they stayed there. Then the symptoms started happening. And then it was 6 months to 2 years of symptoms before those 132 patients received a diagnosis of lupus. So when did it happen? When did they get lupus? Back there, when the antibodies started going up, which means there's low-grade inflammation going on for years and years when people feel fine. And that's one of my goals now, is to help our clinicians understand, how do I identify this low-grade inflammation, and how do I educate my patients that this is where we have to go? You want longevity and quality of life in your 70s, your 80s, your 90s. You need to deal with the low-grade inflammation that's killing off cells, killing off cells, killing off cells. And we've got this pandemic now of brain dysfunction. So every patient that comes to me, every test that we, every one of them gets the Wheat Zoomer and the Neural Zoomer Plus as the entry level for whatever's going on for them. And there may be other tests. We may have to do a thyroid panel or a musculoskeletal panel, whatever. But they always get the Neural Zoomer Plus and the Wheat Zoomer, those two, because we have to start the mechanism. They come to you for symptomatic relief. Great. But I propose that we're there to help them work towards longevity and quality of life, that's really what our primary, some people, the primary role, you're in sports injuries, you just need to get them fixed and back on the field. And that's what you love to do. That's great. But for most of us, we would like to help enhance quality of life and longevity. And the only way, that it's not taking a better vitamin or a better source of coenzyme Q10 or a better source of a nootropic for brain function. All those things help, of course, but it's reducing the chronic low-grade inflammation that's not causing symptoms right now, encouraging them to deal with it. So we have to educate them. First, we have to identify it, educate them on what it means, and then guide them into a lifestyle that is reducing that low-grade chronic inflammation that currently is not causing symptoms.
Which is true preventative medicine, isn't it?
That's right.
Yeah. Okay, so what is it then, Dr. Tom, that you love most about your work?
Oh, it gives me juice. I think you can tell that I have a little excitement about this. I enjoy talking about this because I know the impact it has. If I can be successful in imprinting on the impact of these studies, what these researchers are trying to tell us, if I can help our clinicians hold the big picture of this, then as they wrestle with it for themselves and their families, and begin implementing some of this, then they carry it out into the world and they can look at a patient who says, well, I miss my pizza. I say, I know, me too. I really miss it. I mean, I grew up Italian, but I feel so much better now. And I understand that, my likelihood of having a longer life and quality of life is good. And so there, in my office in Chicago, for 25 years, I had this poem on the wall in every room, every treatment room. I had a number of treatment rooms there, but this poem was on all of them. So I'll tell you the poem because I think it's from George Bernard Shaw. This is the true joy in life, the being used for a purpose, recognized by yourself as a mighty one, the being a force of nature, instead of a feverish, selfish little clod of ailments and grievances, complaining the world will not devote itself to making you happy. I am of the opinion my life belongs to the whole, and it is my privilege to do for it whatever I can. Life is no brief candle to me. It's a sort of splendid torch that I have a hold of for the moment and want to make burn as brightly as possible before passing it on to future generations. So I read that every day when I went into my office. And it allowed me to not get caught by patients' resistance and patients' whining, being a selfish, feverish little clot of ailments and grievances. I miss my pizza. I can have a little, can't I? No. Unfortunately, no. You can't cheat. Cheat days are not allowed in this world. You know, with sugar, okay, maybe, but not with things that activate your immune system. No. If you want to reduce the low-grade chronic inflammation that's setting the stage for 14 of the top 15 causes of death in the world today.
Wow. So that, I mean, that really is an inspiring piece of poetry. And hopefully this has been really inspiring for a lot of our listeners out there. So thank you so much for joining us today. So yes, that was Dr. Tom O'Brien chatting with me, Kirsten Chick, about wheat, about the brain, about autoimmune conditions, the whole lot. And I hope you enjoyed it and have found it as interesting and useful as I have.
As an integrative health professional, choosing the right CPD can be difficult, but we've made it easy for you. ICANN magazine's events bring world-class industry leaders almost to your doorstep. We've done the hard work, choosing the best. All you have to do is turn up and soak up the learning. Our speakers are briefed to give you the absolute latest evidence-based downloads and clear takeaways that you can immediately use in your practice. You'll leave informed, inspired, and ready to rumble. Headline speakers for the 2023 series include naturopathic physician Dr. Cheryl Burdett, Professor Sarpa Dila from the Nicholas Gonzalez Foundation, Dr. Tom O'Brien, Dr. Leo Prumboon, and many, many more. And our events aren't just about the speakers. Tickets for our in-person events include access to a large expo, a three-course gluten-free lunch, a printed delegate pack with all the slides and all the post-event video recordings, so you never miss a thing. There's CPD and there's ICANN CPD. Feel the difference. Book your ticket online at icannconferences.co.uk.
This episode of the ICANN podcast is brought to you by our favorite natural supplement brand, Feel Supreme. Winners of Best Supplement, Best Healthcare Product, and Best Alternative Product for their Lion's Mane Liquid, they also manufacture some customer favorites, including an extensive mushroom tincture range, Shilajit, Tongkat Ali, and NAD Plus products. Head over to feelsupreme.co.uk and use the code POD20 for 20% off the entire natural collection.